Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, it's Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast. It's Monday, May 9th. Monday morning politics on the Monday after Mother's Day. The predicted protests disrupting Catholic church services yesterday did not occur, despite the draft Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade, or if they occurred, no news outlet that I can find reported on any. But this did occur. The governor of Arkansas on TV yesterday acknowledged that rape and incest are not exceptions in the trigger law that would immediately take effect in that state if Roe is in fact overturned. And the governor of Mississippi refused to rule out banning contraception next in his state in this exchange on NBC's Meet the Press with a host, Chuck Todd.
Look, you've just said that you believe life begins at conception. If there is legislation brought to you to ban contraception, would you sign it?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen in Mississippi. I'm sure they'll have those conversations in other states.
But you're not answering the question.
As is always the case with things, well, that's always the case. There's so many things that we can talk about.
There are so many things that we can talk about, but apparently not that, not now, keeping the door open to banning contraception. Congress could transform a woman's right to choose from something determined by the Supreme Court to something voted into federal law. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer plans to call for a vote this week on a bill that would do that, though he knows that with the filibuster in place, he'll never get enough Republican votes to pass it. Schumer plans to bring it to a vote anyway.
This is not just one vote and then this issue goes away. You will hear a lot from us through the next months, all the way through November.
All the way through November, implying the midterm election. Senator Schumer from New York and Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut predicted on Fox News Sunday that if the Republicans get control of the Senate in the midterm elections, well,
if Republicans get control of the Senate, they will get rid of the filibuster in order to pass a national ban on abortion. They got rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court justices for the explicit purpose of putting on the court judges who would strike down Roe versus Wade. And so I think you can naturally assume that they would also change the rules to pass that national abortion ban.
Senator Murphy on Fox News Sunday. With us now, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries of Brooklyn and Queens. He is also chair of the House Democratic Caucus under Speaker Nancy Pelosi. We'll talk about Congress and the draft Supreme Court decision, also about the midterm elections for control of Congress under these new circumstances, and the redistricting mess in New York that could even sway control of Congress as a court is now drawing new congressional district lines that are expected to more favor Republicans than the ones that the Democratic state legislature tried to draw. Thanks for coming on, Congressman Jeffries. Always good to have you. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Great to be with you.
Does the House have a bill that would enact a woman's right to choose into federal law if it disappears as a constitutional right?
Yes, in fact, and we've already passed the Women's Health Protection Act, which is the same legislation that Leader Schumer is going to bring to the floor of the Senate, I believe, on Wednesday. We passed that bill decisively because we understood that there was a significant and grave likelihood that this runaway, radical, Republican-appointed Supreme Court would try to do away with a woman's freedom to make her own health care decisions.
We played the clip of Senator Schumer. Can you talk to our listeners about the point of calling for a vote on something Schumer wants but knows will fail?
Well, it seems to me that we've got to know where every United States senator stands on this issue. Because since this draft decision came to the forefront, many Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, have been ducking, running, and hiding because they understand the implications of their extreme position. So I do think when you are engaged in a significant life-changing public policy debate, it's important to get every senator on record. I also think it's important because we don't know where Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski stand. Both of them seemed to indicate last week that they felt deceived by multiple Supreme Court justices who were at minimum disingenuous during their confirmation hearings when they suggested that Roe v. Wade was a precedent they planned to adhere to. And the first opportunity they got to throw it overboard, they appeared to be taking. And so the question now is, what will Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins do? They claim to be supportive of a woman's right to make her own health care decisions. On Wednesday, you will have an opportunity to now demonstrate that support by voting for the Women's Health Protection Act. That in and of itself is a useful step in the right direction in this fight.
So it still would not get the law passed because there wouldn't be 10 plus, if we can even assume all 50 Democrats, in order to get to the required 60, right?
Well, I think what's important first is let's see if a majority exists. And if a majority exists in support of this legislation, then you can actually have the conversation about filibuster reform. If a majority doesn't exist, then the conversation about filibuster reform is actually moot, because even if you were to change the filibuster rule, you can't get to 50. I'm hopeful that Wednesday will demonstrate that a majority of the United States senators, 50, 51, 52, support a woman's freedom to make her own health care decisions. And if, in fact, that's the case, now you can go to step two, Brian, and have the conversation about filibuster reform.
And we played the Senator Murphy clip about the filibuster. If the Republicans have been all about abortion as a states' rights issue, do you think they would really try for some kind of federal ban that would outlaw or restrict abortions, even in your state of New York, which of course has legal abortion, and elsewhere, against the states' rights foundation of the Supreme Court argument?
Absolutely. Senator Murphy is correct. You can't trust anything that Senate Republicans and Mitch McConnell have to say on this issue or any issue, by the way. We've already seen Senator McConnell talk out of both sides of his mouth with respect to the Supreme Court. He held Barack Obama to one standard 8 or 9 months out from an election when Antonin Scalia tragically or suddenly passed away. A vacancy was created. He indicated that this vacancy should be determined by the next president of the United States because we were in an election year 9 months out. And then adopted a different standard when there was a Republican president under circumstances where the voters really should have had an opportunity to weigh in when the historic Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away in September, about 8 or 9 weeks prior to the 2020 presidential election. And he said, nope, a Republican president should have an opportunity to fill that vacancy. And he didn't even blink or hesitate, because shamelessness, they believe, is their superpower. And so what rational reason would there be for any of us to believe that what Mitch McConnell is presently saying, which is that he has no plans to change the filibuster, is a lie? Because he's lied multiple times before.
Well, if Republicans take control of the Senate, would you then be for keeping the filibuster as a hedge against Republicans taking away more rights, abortion rights, voting rights, maybe other rights as well, while Democrats tend to be for abolishing the filibuster right now when you have the majority?
Well, as a member of the House of Representatives, I don't want to get too deeply involved in the discussion as to what the appropriate Senate strategy should be, particularly because I've got all the confidence in the world in the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. But I will simply say this. There should be one standard, right? One standard. If it's going to go, it should go now. If it's not going to go, and my Democratic colleagues in the Senate actually believe that enough senators, including people like Murkowski and Collins or Romney, for instance, would not support getting rid of the filibuster, then, you know, maybe that helps to shade their decision as to what should happen in a different direction. I don't know, right? Because I don't know the members of the United States Senate that intimately. I do know there's got to just be one standard. And if Senator Murphy is correct, and he thinks it's going to go, then I think some real decisions have to be made. The other thing that has to be pointed out, Brian, is that there are currently exceptions to the filibuster that actually exist. There are two of them. A Supreme Court justice exception to the filibuster that Mitch McConnell put into place to steal not one, but two Supreme Court justices from Democratic presidents, one from Barack Obama and one from Joe Biden. And then there's also a budget reconciliation exception to the filibuster, which, by the way, Republicans used in 2017 to pass the GOP tax scam, where 83% of the benefits went to the wealthiest 1% to subsidize the lifestyles of the rich and shameless. And in doing so, all they did was to saddle the country with $2 trillion worth of unnecessary debt. That was done as an exception to the filibuster, which is part of the reason why many of us have said, seems to me reasonable, at minimum, for Senate Democrats, apparently to disagree, to carve out voting rights and civil rights as an exception to the filibuster, not destroying it, but contributing to the list of exceptions that already exist on matters of great importance.
Sean in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Brian. I wanted to speak for a second to how progressives ought to be thinking about responding to what's happening with the Supreme Court ruling. And you've had Anat Shankar Osorio on your show before. She's a messaging guru for the Democrats. And Kirsten Gillibrand made an amazing statement last week that really didn't get much publicity. And I have to say, I heard it and it struck me so much that I had to have it transcribed. It will take about a minute, Brian, but I'd like to go ahead and read what she said, if you're okay with that.
Okay, just so the listeners understand, you're reading something from New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand on Thursday. Go ahead.
Correct. Sometimes folks in New Jersey have to do the work for folks in New York. So here we go. She said, I would like to speak to America's men for 1 minute. Imagine you do not have the authority over your own body for 10 months. Imagine if that decision would not be taken away, even if you would die in childbirth. Even if you couldn't decide who you were having children with, even if you couldn't decide when you were having that child. I don't think a man in America could actually imagine not having control of its bodily functions, what happens to him, and what life would be like for 10 months. She said, it is an outrage that we have five justices on the Supreme Court who lied in their confirmation hearings in order to be confirmed. It is an outrage that in America today that our judicial system is so corrupted and so politicized and no longer representative of the will of the people. Five justices said that they respect precedent. Five said that Roe v. Wade was established precedent. Five said they would never undermine established precedent. It is unconscionable what this decision will do to the American people. I do not think that 50% of America should be told that they have to put their body at risk of life or death without their consent. It is barbaric. It is inhumane. It is unacceptable. And I hope that every human being in this country understands that when you take away a woman's right to make her decisions about her health and well-being, she is no longer a full citizen.
Sean.
She no longer has freedom. I'm almost done. She no longer has bodily autonomy. She no longer has basic civil rights or civil liberties. That is what this decision would do in America today. Sorry, Brian.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you very much. Okay, quoting Senator Gillibrand. And Congressman Jeffries, I'm sure you agree with everything in that quote. I think I also saw Senator Gillibrand say on TV this weekend, I'll have to look it up to completely confirm it, but I'm pretty sure I saw her say not only did the justices lie in their Supreme Court confirmation hearings. Well, some of them did. I mean, Amy Coney Barrett wouldn't even say that Roe was a super precedent. But Gillibrand, to my eye, accused the senators, like Susan Collins, who thought and said publicly, stated publicly, that that the nominees would uphold Roe, that they knew better all along and were lying. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that particular statement, but, I mean, would anyone put anything past Susan Collins? This is the same person who, after voting to acquit Trump after the first impeachment trial, famously said, "I think he's going to learn his lesson." Really? Learn his lesson? What was the lesson? That he could get away with trying to steal a presidential election and then subsequently incited a violent insurrection to try to overthrow the U.S. government, overrun the Capitol, resulting in the death of hero police officers and serious bodily injury for more than 140 others? That was the lesson that Susan Collins think Donald Trump learned? So, you know, I'll let Senator Gillibrand correctly characterize some of her colleagues in that institution. But it was a powerful statement that she made, and we've got to continue to keep the drumbeat moving forward in terms of the stakes. This is a battle between liberty and tyranny. It's a battle between a woman's freedom to make her own health care decisions, not be subjugated by others in a barbaric fashion as a result of them trying to impose government-mandated pregnancies, even in the case of rape or incest.
I'm trying to look up right now, and I may have been wrong on the way I heard that going by. She may have been just accusing the justices, when they were nominees, lying to Senators Collins and Murkowski. But in any case, I'm going to replay a clip we played last week of Senator Susan Collins during the confirmation process, or I think just after the confirmation process for Brett Kavanaugh, as he was assuming his position on the court. Listen.
I do not believe that Brett Kavanaugh will overturn.
His precedents are overturned all the time.
They aren't overturned all the time. And listen to the standards that he put forth in his conversation with me and also in the hearing. He says for a precedent, a long-established precedent like Roe, to be overturned, it would have to have been grievously wrong and deeply inconsistent. He noted that Roe had been reaffirmed 19 years later by Planned Parenthood versus Casey, and that it was precedent on precedent. He said it should be extremely rare that it be overturned, and it should be an example.
So you have obviously full confidence.
I do.
So that was Senator Collins on CNN at the time of Kavanaugh's confirmation with CNN's Dana Bash. And this from the Washington Post from just the other day. It says Senator Collins, one of two prominent Republican senators who support abortion rights, said Thursday she does not support a Democratic measure that would create statutory right to the procedure, arguing that the legislation does not provide sufficient protection to anti-abortion health providers. So that comes back to your original point, Congressman Jeffries, that if Collins and Murkowski believe they were lied to by those justices at their confirmation hearings, they should at least vote to enact a woman's right to choose as a protection in federal law, which they have the right to do. But Collins says she won't. And this language in the Washington Post, because the legislation does not provide sufficient protection to anti-abortion health providers, I guess that means that individual health providers could opt out if they had personal moral objections to abortion?
Yeah, I'm not sure what she means by that. And, you know, that needs to be worked out. And hopefully she's having those conversations in terms of the sponsors of the legislation in the Senate to see if they can find common ground with the fundamental need to protect a woman's right to choose, ultimately being the North Star in terms of what happens. And the question really is, you know, at some point, are these senators being intentionally deceptive with us, or are they just gullible, right? We all understood what Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and all of those other Republican-appointed justices had as an objective, which was to overturn Roe v. Wade. But nonetheless, we had senators who professed to be pro-choice voting for them anyway. And that's why I think Leader Schumer is exactly correct. Now you have an opportunity to vote, understanding the likely stakes of a woman's right to choose and make her own determinations with respect to health care freedom. And let's see where they stand on Wednesday.
So even if Gillibrand didn't accuse some of those senators of deceiving the American people, you are accusing them. Here's a Collins quote from that Washington Post article on why she'd vote against the bill to enshrine abortion rights into federal law. Quote, it doesn't protect the right of a Catholic hospital to not perform abortions. That right has been enshrined in law for a long time. Would you support such a compromise?
Well, I'd have to understand what the intent and the legislative language is that's being proposed, as well as the actual effect of it. And so, you know, I'm not prepared to say one way or the other what I would support in terms of any compromise that emerges from the Senate. I proudly supported the Women's Health Protection Act as it is currently written in the United States House of Representatives, and thankful that Speaker Pelosi and other members of the Democratic caucus had the foresight, vision, and wisdom to move it forward and pass it. Now, also, Brian, I'm not prepared to say I'm accusing Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski at this moment of intentionally deceiving the American people, but let's see what they do on Wednesday, and then I'll have more to say.
Congressman Hakeem Jeffries from Brooklyn and Queens and chair of the House Democratic Caucus, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.